chapter 41, Genesis 41. And we're looking at Joseph and his relationship to the sons of Israel, or Joseph and his relationship to his brothers. And this takes up Genesis 41 through 45. Now, while we have looked at chapter 41 of Genesis, we need to see an important point, and that is, it is possible to go through a book such as Genesis and analyze very carefully single events. But in going through single events, it is very important to determine a common thread. Hopefully, when you're preparing to teach something like the book of Genesis, you can look at each event and very quickly arrive at a common thread. Sometimes, however, the common thread comes along a little later in your study. And so this was one of those weeks I was ready to teach Genesis 42 this morning and look at the events there, when about 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon, it suddenly dawned on me that in chapter 41 through 45, you have a common thread, and that common thread is Joseph and how he relates to his brothers, and some important questions, such as when in chapter 42 he meets, for the first time since he was sold into Egypt, he meets his brothers, and through chapter 42, 43, 44, he very carefully disguises his identity. They make two trips from Canaan down to Egypt. And in those two trips, Joseph does not reveal who he is. As a matter of fact, he disguises himself. And he makes his brothers jump through all kinds of hoops. They come and he says, "You're spies." And they say, "We have a brother at home." And they, Joseph responds by, "No food until you bring your brother down." And they have to go through that. They go to jail. And you begin to wonder, what is Joseph doing? The first thought comes out of our own human nature. If you had been sold by your brothers and you'd been exalted to a high position, human nature would probably say, "I'm sure I'm going to play with you guys. I'm going to make you squirm through all of this." And that would be an easy explanation. But that's not the reason. Why did Joseph withhold his identity for all of these trips? Why did he not tell them? Why did he disguise himself? And we'll want to see that going through that is a very common thread that is there. And therefore, we're looking today not at just a chapter or not just at an event, but at a whole block of events that begin with chapter 41, where he is exalted to the place of prime minister, 42, where he meets his brothers for the first time since he was sold into Egypt, 43, 44, and finally, in chapter 45, Joseph will identify himself. And so you have, from his exaltation to his revelation to his brothers, you have a unit. And so we're looking not at just a chapter, as we ordinarily do, or just an incident, as we normally do. We're looking at a whole block of events. And that whole block of events is Genesis 41 through 45, and it all deals with Joseph and his relationship to the sons of Israel. When we talk about the sons of Israel, we need to remember something, that the sons of Israel, or the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel are going to be the founding families of the nation. Sons of Israel are going to be the founding families of the emerging nation that occupies the central point of the Old Testament, namely Israel. And as we look at the development of that nation that is yet to come, we know several things. That their growth to a nation will take place in Egypt. The growth into a nation will occur in Egypt. And we can put here beside that note that it will take better than 400 years for them to develop. In these chapters in front of us, the sons of Israel are not in Egypt as we come to chapter 41. They are in the land of Canaan. How will they get to Egypt? Genesis 41 through 45 will tell us how he will get these sons of Israel down into Egypt where they can in turn grow into a nation. When we find them down there, the growth of the nation begins, and therefore we should note that Exodus, or the book of Exodus, begins with a listing of these families. We find out in the last part of Genesis how they get there. As Exodus picks up, it begins with a listing. And if you go to Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 5. And 1, 1 through 5 lists a fact from which we'll want to ask, how did they get there? Exodus 1, 1 through 5. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel. Israel, again, remember, is the name that God gave to Jacob, the new name he gave to Jacob. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. And we'll want to ask, how did that happen? How did they leave Palestine? How did they happen to come down to Egypt? And Exodus 41 through 45, and even the rest of the book, will tell us how that happened. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number. But Joseph was already in Egypt. And we'll find out that in between Exodus 1 and Exodus 12, Exodus 12 is where the nation leaves Egypt to go up to the land of Canaan or Palestine. And we'll find out that from the 70 people, they will grow over this period of some 400 years to a nation of about 2 million people. Go to Exodus 12, for example. And by Exodus 12, you've moved up to the time of the Exodus. And in chapter 12, verse 40, it says, now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came about at the end of 430 years to the very day that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And so we're looking then, going clear back to Jacob in Canaan with his 12 sons who, as we saw them when they sold Joseph into Egypt, were basically worthless, scheming, envious, no unity among them. And then after Joseph is sold into Egypt at age 17, we see when we come to chapter 41, at age 30, he now meets his sons or his brothers once again, and you have the events that are going to occur in those chapters. When the sons of Israel were led out after 400 some years, when they were led out, they displayed the one leading feature that the nation of Israel had to have, and that was, key word, unity of belief, unity of belief and character. looking once again at Exodus 14 and verse 31. Exodus 14, 31. This is after the Exodus, and notice the unity of belief, the unity of character, the unity of viewpoint that the nation had. Verse 31, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and His servant Moses. So with the Exodus, you have a unified belief, a unified confidence in the Lord, a certain kind of character that was there when they were led out of Egypt. So all the single events now have got a common thread. The second point of introduction, third point of introduction, is very simply this. The theme of Genesis chapter 41 through 35 is the testing of the brothers to see if they have developed the character required of God's chosen people. The theme of 41 through 35 is testing to see if they have developed the character that is required of God's people. Genesis 42, verse 15. Genesis 42, 15, for these four chapters is an absolutely critical verse. Verse 15 says, as Joseph speaks to his brothers, by this you will be tested. And therefore, this gives us a key to the interpretation of these following verses. And they need to be tested in regard to several areas. Number one, they can never be qualified as God's chosen people until they repent of what they did to Joseph. So, first issue that is going to come on the scene in chapter 42 is the issue of repentance over the way they treated Joseph. Repentance over the treatment of Joseph. Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers when he was 17. He is now 30. And for all of these years, between 17 and 30, as far as we know, there was no regret, there was no awakened conscience over the fact that they had sold their brother Joseph. And so they go from time he is 17 till the time he is 30, and they seem to be totally unbothered, unworried, unconcerned about the fact that we were really wrong in selling our brother Joseph into Egypt. We will find out in chapter 42, they will come to a place of repentance. And the way they will do it is they will find out that we have come into Egypt, the prime minister, Joseph, whom they do not know at that time, is giving them a very, very hard time. And recognizing that, they begin to reason in their minds, is this a payback? Are we now suffering for what we did to our brother Joseph? And in chapter 42, they will come to the conclusion that that is, yes, truly the case. This is what has happened. And if you go to chapter 42, in verse 21, you've got the first instance that they're now coming to the place of repentance. Verse 22, under the stress and strain of the harsh treatment of the prime minister of Egypt, who is Joseph, unbeknown to them. Verse 21 says, "Then they said to one another, 'Truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Now comes the reckoning for his blood.'" "We would not listen, therefore this distress is come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying," verse 22, "Did I not tell you, do not sin against this boy, and you would not listen? Now comes the reckoning for his blood." And that is the first twinge of conscience that they begin to have. And by the time we get to the end of the chapter, they will have come to the place of repentance over the way they have treated their brother Joseph. That is the theme of chapter 42. So let's put the theme of the chapter 42 is bringing them to repentance over their treatment of Joseph. The second issue that comes before them is going to be a test for jealousy. A test for jealousy. This is the theme of Genesis 42. Or 43, rather. Repentance is the issue in 42. Jealousy is the issue in chapter 43. Now, many, many times we see someone acting or doing something in Scripture, and we see that what they did was wrong, but we're not given the motive. Why did they do it? Well, if there's anything that is clear in Scripture, is we are told beyond any question what was the inner motive for selling Joseph into Egypt. Go to Acts 7. Acts 7. And verse 9. It says, "The patriarchs," that is the fathers of the nation, "became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt." So notice we have the door open as to what is the motivation for their selling Joseph into Egypt. If they are to develop into a nation, answer this question: how can 12 jealous brothers unify into a nation? There's no way. No way it can ever happen. And therefore, since they have sold Joseph through jealousy, if that envy remained, then they would be nothing more than a bunch of fragmented, warring clans fighting against one another, and they will never become a nation. And therefore, before we get to the book of Exodus, we've got to have a test. Have they overcome jealousy? Well, how will that test be brought about? In the first place, they were envious over Joseph, who was the youngest brother. And why were they jealous over him? Go back to chapter 37. Verse 3 makes it clear why they were jealous. They were jealous because Jacob had given to Joseph favored treatment. Chapter 37, verse 3, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms." We noted in going through this passage, the words "on friendly terms" is simply the Hebrew greeting shalom. They could not say shalom to Joseph. There was no peace. There was no shalom between Joseph and his brothers. There was envy. Now, as Joseph meets them many, many years later, are they over that? Have they gotten past that point? If they haven't, they can never be one united nation. And therefore, Joseph, as his brothers come to Egypt for food, is going to test them. Are you guys still jealous? Now, how do you think he might do it? Well, go down to chapter 43. And as their brothers are gathered together, he is, his youngest brother then, Benjamin, is with them. And in chapter 43, he is going to recreate the scene in which he was sold. He was the youngest brother, and he was highly favored, and his brothers were envious. Have they gotten over it? Well, how's he going to test that out? Well, as the brothers come down to Egypt, still not knowing who Joseph was, he prepares for them a banquet. And in verse 33, he seats them. It says they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in astonishment. You understand why? The prime minister of Egypt is giving us a banquet, and we don't know him, and he seated us in the order of our age. And they looked on one another in astonishment. What does this man, the prime minister of Egypt, know? So notice, he treated them according to age. And in verse 34, at the banquet, he gave the youngest son special treatment. Now, it's a recreation of the scene when Joseph was sold into Egypt. And we're going to find out, what are they going to do in this scene? And so verse 34, he took portions to them from his own table. But Benjamin's portion was five times as much as theirs. And take the five times portion and parallel it with what? The special tunic that Jacob made for Joseph many years ago. And it is parallel. And the portion was five times as much as the others. So they feasted and drank freely with him. And we will find that in these chapters, the old jealousy that used to be there is gone. And therefore, they're tested for that particular point. So the seating is going to reveal it. And the special treatment given to Joseph, to Benjamin, is going to recreate it. They pass the test. If, however, they're going to be a nation that is unified, you have a third issue. And the third issue is going to be another test, and this will be a test for loyalty. Obviously, the 12 families cannot be one nation unless they are loyal to one another. And that is the theme of chapter 44. And if you go to chapter 44, you see how was that tested out and how was it proved. Well, in chapter 44, as the brothers are sent back once again with provisions, Joseph has placed in the bag of Benjamin his own personal drinking cup. And as they journey, he dispatches men to go up and catch the brothers and say, "How could you do a thing like this? You have taken the prime minister's cup, Joseph's cup." And they search through the bags, they open the bag of Benjamin, and there is the cup. Would you stick with your brother in a situation like that? Would you say, "Well, just let us go on our way, take Benjamin, and hang him"? Well, if that is going to be their attitude, then where is the loyalty that is going to bind them together into one unified nation? Well, as they find the cup, you have the words of Judah down in verse 16, that reveals loyalty. Well, let's get verse 15, really, to get the context. So they're brought back. It says, Joseph said to them, "What is this deed that you have done? Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination?" And Judah said, "What can we say, my lord? What can we speak? How can we," notice the plural, "how can we justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Behold, we are my lord's slave, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found." So he is going to state that we are guilty, along with Benjamin, who in whose bag was found the cup, and therefore they are found to be loyal. So what is the perspective then in all of these chapters? Why do you think through all of this then, seeing what we've seen, why did Joseph conceal his identity? Is he playing with him? No. He wants to see if their responses are genuine. Therefore, he conceals who he is. If you see me as the prime minister of Egypt, I bet you'll repent over the way you treated me. You'll repent to save your hide, wouldn't you? I mean, Joseph had the power of life and death. And if they come down for food, and as they did in chapter 42, which is the first time he's seen them since he was 17 and he's now 30, if he says, "Hey guys, I'm Joseph, Prime Minister of Egypt," Joseph or Judah and the rest of them would say, "Oh God, we better repent. We better go through some fancy footwork." So Joseph said, "I'll not let you know who I am." And they came to repentance without knowing. As a matter of fact, they came to repentance believing that Joseph was dead. That's what they thought. They thought Joseph was dead. And thinking he was dead, they came to repentance over the way they had treated him. And therefore, the repentance was genuine. 43, are you still jealous the way you were when I got that special tunic? I'm not going to tell you who I am, because if I told you who I am, you would act. You would you'd make your actions accord with what you think I wanted. But I will treat Benjamin special. Special seat, special food, and I'll see what you're going to do. And in that test for jealousy, they respond properly. And then finally in chapter 44, you guys have not been very loyal. You sold me into Egypt. You debated among yourselves. Reuben, one of the brothers said, "Don't kill him." The rest said, "Let's do." They couldn't get together on anything. Are you loyal? And through the incident with Benjamin, it's demonstrated that they are loyal in the fullest sense of the word to one another. In other words, these chapters are preparing the nation to be one. And these founding fathers have to come to that place before they can be used in a unified, chosen people context. And I think when we see it that way, that improves our view of Genesis by recognizing that Joseph is not playing a game. He is not saying, "I'm going to play with you, I'm going to toy with you, I'm going to put, you pay your money for this grain." And the first time he sent them back and he put the money they paid for the grain in each one of their bags and said, "Boy, will that ever be a laugh. Wait till they see that, I'll scare the wits out of them." And in a sense they did, but they didn't know it was Joseph. And so Joseph is not playing with them, and you can see then how that the words we read in chapter 42, they are going to be tested, is really worked out in the book of Genesis. Now, before we close this session, we ought to do one other thing. And that is, we've emphasized the testing of the brothers. Now, how does Joseph relate to all of this? And in our outline that we'll be following in our study, we will have 3 points. How does all of this relate to Joseph personally? And so what we're really doing is outlining Genesis 41 through 45, which is truly a unit. Number one, Joseph can never deal with them as long as he is in prison. So, we have, number one, Joseph exalted. Genesis 41. And Genesis 41 will be the movement in the story of the formation of the nation of Israel, whereby God exalts Joseph to a place of leadership where he can deal with these brothers. Second, chapter 42 through chapter 44, the line that Joseph takes is he is concealed. Joseph concealed. Genesis 42 through 44. The first meeting of Joseph, and this is a very critical event. Go to chapter 42, verse 6. The first meeting of Joseph with these brothers at age 30, had not seen them since he was 17, is found in chapter 42, verses 6 through 8. Now Joseph was ruler over all the land, He was the one who sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. Very important point for these three chapters, 42 through 44. Joseph recognized his brothers. Very important words. They set the whole scene, as a matter of fact. Verse 7, when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. 42, 7. Second, verse 8, but Joseph had recognized his brothers, although they did not recognize him. Joseph recognized his brothers. His brothers did not. 42:8. This condition continues until chapter 45. And to get a little bit of an idea of how long that lasted, the brothers were in famine. They journeyed to Egypt. They brought back food. They used up the food. They made the second journey to Egypt, and they were ready to return before Joseph told them who he was. So Joseph will be concealed to them in chapter 42 through chapter 44, and in that interim period, there will be relationship between the two. Joseph will deal with them, they will deal with Joseph, but they don't know who they're dealing with. And that is critical to the whole scene. Finally, the last movement is Joseph revealed. Genesis 45. I hope through this you'll be able to see why we began the way we did this morning, by saying we're not studying a chapter, we're not studying an event, we're studying a series of things that go from 41 through 45. They're an integral unit. You cannot separate them. You cannot look at them apart. And in closing, may emphasize something about Bible study. The lesson that was prepared for today at 2:45 yesterday afternoon is not the one you're getting. Why? Because I did not see that unity that was developed in these chapters until 2:45 yesterday. And that is one of the important things about Bible study. We need to look at events, but we need to see the thread. What is the theme? Is there a theme? What is there? And when you see that seam, then you can develop the context the way it ought to be developed. I had almost come to the conclusion as of yesterday that Joseph is kind of having fun. And I'm sure he did. I mean, how could you put the money back in your brother's sacks and not imagine what are they going to do when they open those sacks and realize that they have taken the money that was supposed to go to the prime minister of Egypt and it's in their bag? I mean, Joseph had to have a smile over that. And when he put the cup in the bag of Benjamin, he had to have a little sense of humor of recognizing, boy, well, what were they going to do to this kid when they find out that he's stolen the prime minister's cup from Egypt? What are they going to do? What are they going to say? And there had to be a little bit of humor to that. But there's much, much, much more to it than that. And that is the sober theme, that these are the sons of Israel. These are the chosen people. And we've got to find out whether they have truly repented over their treatment of Joseph, whether they have really overcome their jealousy, and whether they are really loyal. Now we can bring them down into the land of Egypt, and we can grow over this next period of time into a nation that is unified and will come out in the Exodus to the last man, probably some 2 million, saying, we believe the Lord, we believe Moses, we respect the Lord, and we will honor him. And that was all the fruit of the development of the nation that begins with the time Joseph meets his brothers and the time he was exalted in these last chapters of Genesis. Father, we're thankful for your truth and for your word. We pray that as we study these chapters, that we also will grow in grace and knowledge of Christ in your name.